Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
The conversation talks to legal matters, and today we're focusing on the role of mediation. Since the middle of last year, it's been part of the standard rules of practice in South Africa that lawyers must first attempt a mediation between parties before rushing a case to court. And yet that hasn't really been happening in practice, or at least it wasn't until quite recently when legal authorities took steps to remedy that. To talk to us about what has changed and why, and a little bit more information on the role of mediation, I'm delighted to welcome on the line from Gauteng, Advocate Viresh Srikison, who is Director of Fair Practice, a family lawyer based in Gauteng and a trained mediator. It's lovely to have you with us, Viresh. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. We're talking specifically about something called Rule 41A of the Uniform Rules of Court, which I gather came into effect roughly halfway through last year. What does that actually say? What does it require of legal practitioners?
So the rule came into effect around middle of March last year. And it, what it does is it compels legal practitioners to consider mediations for their clients, which means that even though the mediation process stays voluntary, legal practitioners must inform their clients of the process of mediation and to notify the other side and invite them to mediation. So there's legal consequences and processes, both legal consequences to not mediating, and then processes in terms of inviting for mediation, opposing mediation, and then the process of mediation itself.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the process itself before we talk about the consequences of not getting involved in a mediation. You've mentioned the word voluntary, which is very important. Nobody's forcing you to sit around a table trying to hack out a solution to your issue. But typically, what does a mediation consist of?
So the mediation process is actually a structured process, even though it has flexibility in terms of timelines. So not like a formal court process where there's days that that has to be complied with in terms of documents and setting up pre-trial conferences and all of those. The mediation process works on the timeline at the convenience of the parties and their legal representatives and the mediator. So the parties gather together, and with the mediator, they go through a process of putting on the issues on dispute. They draft an agenda. There's an agreement to mediate, which is a formal document that everyone signs to be a part of the process. And then the mediator, who is an impartial person, then facilitates the negotiations within the process. Now, the voluntary nature of it is that the parties then choose to stay in the process to reach finality or to reach agreement. If, for instance, the mediation process is not conducive to the dispute itself, or the process is only necessary, the mediation process is only necessary for some of the issues, the parties then can decide within the mediation on what issues to mediate on or issues that can rather be seen to by a court. So the mediation process is confidential. Anything inside that process remains within the process, and any admissions or concessions or offers made between the parties remains without prejudice until they both agree to put it in writing. What is important about the mediation process is that the mediator is an impartial person who has no conflict of interest in this dispute. That means the mediator does not make any decisions for the parties. The parties come to the decisions working together in those negotiations and with the guidance of their legal representatives. So often people think that mediation is therapy or counseling. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It is a legal process.
This is fascinating, particularly what you just said about that the mediator themselves does not make any decisions. They are there to guide the process, to help you come to agreement between the parties. Viresh, can you give us some examples of the kind of disputes for which this might work? I mean, I'm thinking immediately of, you know, in the case of a couple divorcing, mediation can be used to decide what the childcare plan is going to be going forward.
Well, mediation is mandated by the Children's Act that the parties attend mediation to work out the contact and care schedules. So, you know, it's not often used in the format that it's meant to, where the parties sit in the mediation process and formulate this parenting plan or parenting responsibilities and rights agreement depending on their marital status. What people fail to understand and what their legal practitioner should tell them is that mediation is mandated, so it's mandatory to attend mediation to reach a consensus on these issues. If there are instances where mediation is not appropriate, then the parties don't have to force themselves to sit in it. However, it is a process that can be used in terms of disputes arising where parties, where they cannot even stand to be in the same room as each other, can use what we call caucus or shuttle mediation, where the mediator moves between the parties and facilitates the negotiations there.
Wow.
What is also advantageous is online mediation. So where you have high conflict people in a dispute, they can resort to using online mediation to keep the people separated from that emotional discharge that arises. Wow.
Viresh, if it's not possible to reach agreement through a mediation process, does that at all prejudice your ability to then proceed to a full-on court case afterwards?
Not at all. And again, there's that misconception that by going to mediation, you limit your access to the court. Your access to the court is never touched on. What we're giving in mediation is access to justice, which is quicker and cost savings, which is one of the benefits of mediation. And if you can't reach agreement for whatever reason, the court is still there to assist you in terms of reaching finality in your dispute.
We're talking to Advocate Viresh Srikisan, who's joining me on the line from Gauteng, Director of Fair Practice and herself a trained mediator. If you've got any questions, you're welcome to ask them with a WhatsApp to 0725671567. It's very interesting that the legal authorities have had to sort of step in with a letter reminding the profession that since March of last year, at least letting your clients know about the option of mediation is absolutely required. Why do you think it was necessary to do that? Were too many avoiding it because it's more money in their pocket if they go to court? Let's be blunt.
Well, there seems to be that distorted view that if we use a tick box approach and tell the courts that we attended mediation and it didn't work just by attending one session, there's that misconception that mediation takes money away from lawyers. However, and I discuss this more in my mediation advocacy webinars and lectures, mm-hmm. is that mediation gives lawyers an opportunity to shine in terms of negotiating strategies, because you don't just go to mediation blind. You are given the opportunity, and a competent mediator will tell you, to prepare in advance your negotiation strategy and information you want to share in the mediation. So the lawyer still works with their clients while the client is in mediation. So there's no reduction of fees in terms of the lawyer needs to step aside. The client still relies on lawyers for guidance and advice in terms of process, because that's what lawyers are good at. They're good at process.
What happens, okay, so if a mediation fails to reach an outcome, you can then move on to an argument in court and let a judge decide the final outcome. What happens if somebody just absolutely refuses to participate in a mediation? Viresh, you've already mentioned there are those awful cases where the parties, there's so much acrimony between them, they won't even sit in the same room. And I'm certainly, I only have to look as far as my own circle of friends to think of at least one example of a soon-to-be ex-partner who just would not participate in any attempt to settle matters courteously and amicably. What happens if somebody just won't come to the table, as it were?
So that's what the Rule 41A addresses in terms of obliging parties to give reasons as to why they won't mediate. And they have to give very concise and detailed reasons as to why they won't mediate. And that would then go to the courts, which after the process has run its course, the court process has run its course, the judge may then use his or her discretion or their discretion to decide, were any of these issues mediatable? Could the parties have negotiated outcomes of this that did not require the assistance of the court? And the judge would then look at the how long it took and how acrimonious it was in terms of a cost order and how the process was prolonged because of a refusal to negotiate in good faith. So there's again, case law that speaks to this. And, of course, those who are trained in mediation and those who understand the process or have heard of it, they will know the Brownlee judgment in which the acting judge in that instance gave across sanctions against the attorneys, the legal representatives themselves, because they didn't bring mediation to the attention of their client.
Wow. Okay, that's, I mean, I was going to ask you if we've had legal precedent. You've answered it, and that's quite astonishing. So against the actual legal practitioners to say the law's rules require you to let your clients know about this process and encourage them to engage in it. And if you don't do it, you could potentially bear the cost of that case coming to take up the court roll's time. Viresh, are the sort of court officers on the lookout for this? Are they going to refuse to open a case, for example, if you come to them without having attempted mediation?
Yes, but what happened with that practice directive that was sent out by the judge president of the Limpopo division in July 2021 this year was that he had said that the matters, if the legal practitioners do not comply with the Rule 41A conditions, and they have until the 1st of September to rectify their behavior, then their matters will be struck from the roll and not heard by the court.
Wow.
And so this is because the registrar will have a look at it and see, did they even consider mediation? So that aspect of mediation is well known now in courts, because even during July 2021, we had the reported judgment in the Khaladi Manganese and others versus IDC and others case, in which it was the principles and contents of Rule 41A was brought to the attention that these need to be looked at in detail and complied with by legal practitioners.
Fascinating conversation. Viresh Srikisan, thank you so much. An advocate on the line from Gauteng, and really appreciate your input. There's a lot more interesting information on the topic of mediation on her website, which is www.fairpractice.co.za.